according to the grace given unto you, wait on your ministering. Of course, we're very aware of the diversities in the body of Christ and the diversity of ministry that takes place. And I would have to say no one any more significant than the other. And oftentimes, our ministry is predicated on the interactivity of the ministry of others. My peace is mine, yours is yours. But God will co-join in situations to accomplish an end work. I invited Brother Martin Guardado to come with me this weekend and to be with us. And I was just reflecting. He and I had spoken about this some time back. But I remember that there was a couple. There was a family, Tim and Sally Sanchez and Sela, that committed the ultimate ministry to Brother Guardado. Invited him into their home. And because they invited him into their home, because they were waiting on their ministering, I was able to invite him to come out and work with me at the farm for, I think, about 4 months. And so we had every day seasons of communication and ministry, and he did most of the work. But had the Sanchez's not opened their home to him, waiting on their ministering. Now, that ain't my ministry. But I was able to cooperate and participate in my peace. You follow me? Which would not have taken place had they not participated in their part. According to the grace that's been given to you, let each one wait on our ministering. Amen. Brother Guardado, come take your liberty.
Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus. I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus. You know, Bishop was sharing a little bit, and most of you guys have known me for quite a while, and I've been involved now for about a good 3 years in the body of Christ. Okay, so coming to the Lord, I initially came out of prison, which if some of you have known, but the Lord continues to do a work in a man. Okay? I wasn't going to continue to be the man that I was when God was doing a transforming work within me. Okay? So there's some things that I had to let go of in my life in order to grow and prosper in the things of God. Okay? So he was expressed talking about Brother Tim and Sister Sanchez. These are two friends, longtime friends of mine that have opened their doors to me. And it's not very often that someone would open their doors to a guy like me back in those days. Because you take one look at me, you're going to see a bunch of tattoos, and you're going to say, hey, this might look like a shady character. I don't know if I want to let this guy in my house. You know, but these people, they open their doors and they let me in. You know, and I was at a point in my life, it was such a low point of unworthiness, of brokenness, of doubt, insecurities, not knowing what's going to happen from one day to the next. But God had started speaking to me in prison, speaking something into my heart and into my life. Okay, so coming out of prison, the brothers and, you know, Brother and Sister Sanchez, they opened their doors to me. And I'm so thankful that God allowed them and used them that way, because I do not know where I would be today if God did not use them in the way that they did. And, you know, there was some doubts there, because in the past I'd done some things that weren't the greatest and people had reason to doubt me. You know, so what I'm learning in this day, in this time, in this walk of mine with the Lord, and being submitting myself to God and His ways, I've been learning some things. I'm going to ask Brother Mark to put up a scripture, please. It's Proverbs 3:5. And in this process of letting go of my identity, of who I used to be, because, and some people will still identify me as and categorize me as a gang member. And some people, when you don't see me without a suit and tie, you don't see me walking into the house of God, people will automatically see what's written all over this vessel that God chose to use. You know, so So this scripture here, Proverbs 3, chapter 5, says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I've come from a lifestyle where trust wasn't an easy thing. Okay? Trusting people, trusting parents, trusting friends. I even have some friends that got tattoos on them that say, trust no man. You know, so trust. I'm at a point right now in my life. God has brought me to a point in my life where I'm learning to have a trust in him. Okay? In the past, you know, I wasn't a trust. I just couldn't trust. I couldn't trust people. I couldn't even trust myself. You know, so I'm at a point right now where, you know, things happen in our lives that are beyond our control. You know, a lot of us here, we have jobs. We're providers for our homes. We have things that God has given to us. But because of some circumstances, those things can be removed from your life. And then you find yourself in a place of unknown. Where am I now? What's going to happen? And so the Lord's been taking me back to this scripture of trusting in the Lord with all thine heart. And there's a second part to it. And lean not unto thine own understanding. Okay, see, I sometimes find myself in that second part in wanting to lean on my own understanding instead of trusting in God's process and what he's doing. So, like I was talking about, you know, there's some circumstances that are beyond our control. Sometimes people pass away. Sometimes companies close, they go out of business. And I found myself in a position where I've been at this job. You know, I worked with Bishop for a while. I've been at this job for a couple of years. And they came in and made an announcement one day that they were closing the doors. You know, so I watched everybody. I watched everybody jump on their phones. Everybody was in fear. They were texting. They were calling everybody. And they were crying. And I just watched. I allowed God to let me see what was happening. And who I called on? I called on him. Okay, I called on him because he's the one that I want to communicate with. He's the one that I want to trust in with all my heart. Okay, so in this process, there's been, the company's going to close here in probably about a couple of weeks, but there's been some offerings. There's been some job offerings to me that are very, they've been very lucrative. They've been very tempting. And, you know, I never thought that there would be a day that I would be turning down a job. Okay, and this job is, for myself, was, I'd consider a lot of money, you know, but there was a catch to it, and this was the president of the company, of the whole entire company. He came, and he points at me, and he says, come here, he wants to talk to me, and so I go over, and I have a few words with him, and he says, I want you to work for me, and it says, but I'd need you to move down here to Oregon, and, you know, I had to process all that information. I'm like, man, moving out of state, moving away from where God has planted me, okay? God has brought me here in Life Church, connected with this body, connected with the congregation in Selah and the congregation in Kent, okay? So I felt conflicted. I felt like a part of me was like, man, you know, that's a lot of money. You know what that money can do for you? Do you know what that money can do for your family? And you start looking at the money part of it instead of looking at the God factor part of it. You know, so in this process, you know, I'm like, these people call me up about 9 o'clock in the evening, and they're like, hey, we want you to take this job, man. I mean, we want to promote you to this group manager. We want you to do this. We believe in you. And I just, you know, I didn't make a decision over the phone. You know, there's some, God's placed some men of God in my life that I communicate with. I communicate with my Lord and Savior, and I communicate with the elders of the church because I want some input. You know, I can make decisions on my own. I can lean on my own understanding. And I can justify my reasons for taking that job. And I can justify my reasons for saying, you know what, Pastor, I got to go. You know, I God's blessed me with this. I think that I should take it and I should go. I don't think that that's a blessing if it's going to take me out of the house of God. I don't think that it's a blessing if it's going to separate me from the body of Christ where there's no more fellowship and I'm sitting in another state all by myself. You know, so the Lord's been kind of, you know, dealing with me with all these things. And, you know, I've had other job offerings. They're local in Yakima. And I just had one recently, and I'll share it with you. You know, I try to listen to what people say because I believe God speaks to us through other people sometimes, a lot of times, if we're listening with spiritual ears and we're hearing what's actually being said. So I'm sitting in an interview, And it's going great. It's going great. And they're like, man, you know, we like you. And but this is what they say. We're going to have you working on a night shift. We're going to have you on a swing shift. We're going to have you on a graveyard shift. We're going to move you all around. And then he says these words to me. He says, prepare to not have a life. So, I mean, if you're not listening with spiritual ears, sometimes you can miss all that. You know, all you can see is the money and what the money can do for you and it could do for your family. And I start automatically, I don't know about you, but for me, I think about the house of God. I think about the body that I fellowship with, the things that the God has involved me in anger management classes, Wednesday night Bible studies, Sunday services. And if there's some conflict there and me trying to compromise and saying, okay, well, I can miss a Wednesday here or I can miss a Sunday there. No, I can't. I can't miss a Sunday here and I can't miss a Wednesday there, because then it becomes something that progresses and you start missing one Sunday after the next Sunday. And then all of a sudden, all these problems start compounding your life. And you find yourself, yeah, you mean you got all this money, but you're starting to lack joy. You're starting to lack peace in your life. You're starting to lack certain things in your life that God has given to you. So when these people said this word to me, plan to not have a life and don't make plans. It's like, okay. Well, I spent almost 9 years in prison and I didn't have a life. That's not a life. That was not alive. God was doing some things in prison with me, and I believe all that happened for a reason. I was there for a reason. God showed me some things that, man, I'd be surprised. They transfer so much into what Bishop and I talk about, and it's like, man, every story that I tell comes from prison almost. It's like because I spent most of my life there. You know, I thought that that was the thing to do. I thought that, you know, I seen my family do it. I seen all my friends were going to prison, and it was like, man, this is... That's what I grew up doing, you know. So, but I feel like the Lord has blessed me with some wisdom, you know, and he's educated me in ways that are beyond the norm. And I see, I mean, I don't make comparisons to other people, but, you know, God has done some things in me, and I'm thankful for that. So in this process of turning down a job, okay, now I'm about to lose my job here probably in about a week, about 10 days. I'm like, okay. You know, can fear rise up? Yeah, it can. You know, do I fall back to this scripture and say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart? Yes, man, I have to trust. I'm going to tell you, turning down a job, knowing that I can take a job that's going to pay my bills, it's going to pay my car payment, and to walk in faith and say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to walk through this door. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that I'm going to be without a job. And I'm going to tell you, man, $400 of unemployment is not very much money. So you want to walk in faith and live on $400 a week? You know, or do you want to be quick to grab some money and say, you know, let me take this, let me put this in my pocket because now I know I'm safe. Now I know I'm leaning on my own understanding because I'm in control now. I'm going to go ahead and make sure all my bills get paid, everything gets taken care of. I can't do that. I do not want to compromise the word of God. I believe this scripture to be true. I believe this scripture to be real. And I believe that God will do his part if I do mine. I have to do my part. I have to submit myself to God. I have to continue to trust in him. I'll pray to him. I seek him. And there's the unknown. You know, and I'm not walking in fear today. I'm not here to tell you that I'm scared and I don't know what's going to happen and oh my gosh. Nah. No, I wasn't like that out there when I was running the streets, thinking I was super crazy. I'm not going to do it now, and I'm not going to compromise those things in the house of God. Nope. I'm going to have the same confidence that I had out there, but I have even more confidence because I have him by my side. You know, we serve a great God. We serve a mighty God, and I am so thankful for what he's continuing to do in my life. This is happening right now for a purpose. It's for a reason, because God tells me sometimes, do you really trust me? Do you really trust me? Yes, I'm faithful in my tithing. I give God what belongs to him. And I can find myself questioning God, why? 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 I know I'm not the only one that's said that. You know, so, you know, I just have to look. I said, Lord, I know you're trying to teach me something in this situation. You are trying to teach me something in this about myself, because the road was, it was smooth. Everything was gravy. Everything was going great. Maybe God just don't want me there no more, because God has the power to close them doors. Maybe he's seen me getting comfortable there. Maybe he just wanted to close them doors and move me somewhere else where he needs me. You know, so I'm being obedient to that. You know, I know life circumstances, you know, they can be challenging at times because, you know, we have, I mean, a lot of us have family, and that's important to us, how we provide, but our ultimate provider is him. Everything that he gives comes from him. You know, so the job that he's going to bless me with, I trust that he's going to provide. You know, so it's okay for me to say no to that job. And I mean, I've probably turned down 4 jobs already. I'm just like, man, I never thought that day would come. You know, I'm like turning down jobs, and, you know, and I just keep waiting on God, and I'm keep trusting in the Lord and trying not to lean on my own understanding, because my own understanding would say, well, I've tried to compromise missing a week of service and missing a Sunday. And I feel like the enemy uses these things to, and they're subtle ways of trying to pull us out of the house of God. There's small ways, and it comes subtly and say, well, hey, it's, you know, it's okay to do this, and it's okay to do that. But little by little, he starts to get you where he wants you, and that's out of the house of God, out of the fellowship with the body of Christ. I don't want that. I don't want to be back out there fellowshipping the things of the world. I don't want that. You know, I don't want to let go of what God has done in my life. That's not something that I don't want to surrender. It's not. You know, I have gone through, it feels like my body has gone through attack after attack. It's been physical. I hurt my back. You can see I cut my face. I'm sick. And it's just like, you know, I still say thank you, Jesus. I'm still here today to give glory and honor to God, because he is worthy of all my praise. And I'm so thankful today that I can walk in faith and trust in the Lord with all my heart. It is a mighty and wonderful thing to have that faith. You know, there's some things that have been transpiring in my life, things that have been changing. And, you know, my life has, majority of the time, has been about the street, you know, about the street life. And, you know, I know maybe some of us here, not all of us have lived that life. But, you know, I'm thankful to come here and share some of the things that I've gone through, because some of us can still struggle and feel the same pains, the same hurts, without having to go out there and run the streets. Because the hurt and the brokenness that I felt, I'm sure a lot of us have felt it in our lives somewhere along the line too. You know, so God's brought me out of that wilderness. He brought me out of that. And you know, I've come to the house of God, and I want to surrender everything that I was to him. You know, and it didn't happen overnight. It was a gradual process, day by day, of talking to God, listening to him, and him asking something of me, asking him to remove something from my life that didn't belong, something that will be illuminated sometimes through other people. Sometimes you'll hear it through his voice, and it's something that I've had to change, things that I've had to change about myself. And a lot of times people will say to me, how did you get to this point? How did you get there? Or sometimes I even hear this statement, man, there's something different about you. And I'm sometimes just like, man, if you only knew what that different was, that different is Jesus Christ. Because me in the past, you would not see that in me before. The joy that I walk around with, the smile that I have on my face, I'm thankful for not waking up in the morning dope sick, high. But I'm going to tell you, trusting in the Lord, we all got to have it. And it can be difficult. I can honestly tell you that it can. At times it was difficult because I didn't always have trust in my life. But today, I stand firm on this scripture, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, and my understanding had always been my way. It was my way, what I wanted, how I was going to do it, and how I was going to figure things out. It's not my way anymore. It's his way. He's going to direct my paths. He's going to be a light unto my feet. That's what he's going to be for each and every one of us. It's not just me. You know, I come from a different background than everybody here, but we serve the same God. We worship and praise the same God. You know, and I'm thankful for that. And you know, God, He's continuing to do different things in my life. I know I've shared with some of you guys in the past about my family. You know, God has been restoring some things in my family with my daughters. You know, I've been out of prison now for almost 3 years. I think it's 3 years now. I'm trying not to count, you know, count these days. I don't, those days. But anyways, it's been about 3 years. And some relationships have been restored with one of my daughters. She's 18 years old. She's going to have a baby. So I'm going to be a grandpa for the first time. You know, and my heart kind of melts in that, because it's like I'm looking at it an opportunity now to give to this child the things of God, to love him, to instill the word of God in him. You know, because it's important for our families, for our children, for our grandchildren, that this generational curse be broken. You know, and I'm thankful that I'm able to be around today. And I'm looking forward to this little boy coming into my life. But, you know, I just here this morning to encourage everybody. And like I said, I don't know if anybody's gone through the same things that I've gone through. Or, I mean, like I said, this job thing has been, it's been like somebody throwing a stick in my spokes and the bicycle. You know, it was at first it was a little whirlwind, a little shakiness. I was like, okay, God, I trust you. And I'm going to continue to hold that. And I just wanted to share that with you guys today. This is kind of where I've been going through. And I believe that was the Lord, what the Lord's put on my heart this morning, to share that with you. And I'm just thankful for the opportunity to be here and be able to share those things with you. I just want to say God bless you and thank you. Let's pray a little bit. Let's close our eyes and let's lift our hands to the Lord. Lord Jesus, we worship you, God. Lord Jesus, I come to you, Lord God, as a humble servant unto you, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I'm just thankful to you, God, and I trust in your process, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, we worship you, God. Jesus, we trust your process, Lord. Jesus, you are a light unto our feet, God. You will direct our path, God. Your word will not fail. It will not come back void, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, I trust you, God, in all my ways, Lord. I submit myself to you, Jesus. I trust you, Father. We trust you, Jesus. For your word is true, God. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Jesus, we worship you, God. Jesus, we love you, Lord. Jesus, we praise you, God. Jesus, we lift our voices to you, Lord. We lift our voices to you, Jesus. You are worthy of praise. You are worthy, God. We lift our voices to you, Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I worship you.
Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Itarorobo kote atararabahaye. Iloroboriataye alalamahakotororobashiataye. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Over the past month or so, the Lord has been leading us as a church, as a congregation. I say as a church because Life Church as a whole, but a congregation particularly, to a place of trust. He's leading us along this journey of faith. And the things that Brother Martin has talked about today, the scripture says this, that we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. He's a witness to that. And by the word of our testimony. I hope you understand today that it is his testimony today is infusing, what you're feeling is the infusions, the impartation of faith into your spirit. Because some of you were facing similar battles, similar questions, similar unknowns. I was waiting for you to read the next verse, verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and what?
Amen.
He will direct your path. As long as I'm leaning into my own understanding, then this can't happen. My God, in the name of Jesus. He's trying to bring us to this place where we have a confidence that no matter what it looks like right now, today, this moment, 11:58, March the 24th, he is directing my path.
Amen.
You believe that? Can you believe, can you accept that? That right now, today, this moment, no matter what is going on around me, no matter what it looks like, no matter how destructive it may seem, no matter how impossible it may seem, he is directing my path. He's ordering. The scripture says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so he can, you know, he can stand here in a confidence day. Some of you are blown away by his confidence and his calm and collective. Well, you know, I lost my job 10 days. Don't have a job. Turning down jobs. And you're like, this guy is nuts. They're going to come take his car. They're going to boot him out of his apartment. He speaks with a confidence. I can say this because I know him. He's a man of prayer. He doesn't stand here doubting his place with God. That's the first problem we have. As soon as stuff like this starts happening, we're like, well, you know, I guess this is God getting me back because I haven't been faithful to him. No, he's leading us to a place of trust. You say you trust me. Let's test that. You say that I'm your provider. Let's test that. You say I'm in control. Let's test that. And he stands here with a confidence today because he knows he's in right standing with God. He's living and walking in righteousness. So he knows that this is a path that's been directed. This is something that's been orchestrated. Somewhere near the end of the book of Job, after Job has all this dialogue with his friends and maybe God hates me, maybe I should hate him, maybe I've done this, maybe this is payback for all these things I've done wrong in life. Somewhere along the line, he finally comes to this conclusion toward the end, somewhere in the 20s of the chapters. Forgive me for not having the exact verse. He finally comes to this conclusion that I now realize that he's simply doing that thing that has been appointed for me. That through the process of time as we go through things, and it's impossible because we're in our finite minds and what we see in front of us today, it's really easy to become so focused on what's going on right now that I rarely, unless the Lord really gives me the grace, have the ability to step back and maybe step up to a place spiritually where I let go of the fear, I let go of the doubt, I let go of my lack of peace and the anxiety and all the things that immediately attach themselves to me when something goes awry. And I release all of that and it takes me to a place spiritually where I begin to look back over every season of my life. And I realize that he's been orchestrating things. Everybody say an appointment. I have a calendar. It's full of appointments. Sends me reminders every now and then. There's an appointment coming up. There's an appointment coming up. Sometimes I snooze them. Sometimes I delete them. But it tells me you got something coming. You got something coming. If only God had a warning sign. If only God had 15-minute or 15-day or 15-month reminders of, you got an appointment. I'm getting ready to pull the carpet out from underneath you. This is just your friendly reminder. It starts in 15 minutes. If only. No, that's not how it works. He just one day just shuts the lights off. Poor Elijah. He's just sitting by the brook. You know, it's just the greatest of times. Probably a lot like you. Ravens bringing him food. Brooks running with water. There's a drought. And he wakes up one morning. Where'd the water go? It's quiet. There's no birds. What's going on? Wait, you brought me here. What in the world? You led me out here. I follow the leading of your spirit, and you've left me with a dry brook and dead birds. Oh, I forgot. The plan changed. Go to Zarephath. I have commanded a widow there to sustain thee. Appointment. I want us to stand right now. I feel such faith in this room right now. He's wanting to help somebody to understand he has got your future in his hands, and there hasn't been a single misstep. He hasn't made a single mistake. This isn't an error on the part of God. Quit checking in with him to make sure he didn't make a mistake. He doesn't make mistakes. He's too big for mistakes. He's too great for mess ups. He's God. He didn't make a mistake. He didn't just trip and fall. Oh, sorry, I dropped you. No. He's got you perfectly in his hands.
Hallelujah.
This altar's open. He knows. He knows. He sees your current situation. He sees your current circumstances and everything that's going on around it. He's well aware. He's got it under control. Receive his peace today. Receive his peace today. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Trust him who knows the beginning from the ending.
And lift my eyes to see your majesty, your holiness, and all I am will bless you. My hope is in. Amen.
Thought for the morrow, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall put on. For your heavenly Father, say it with me, for my heavenly Father, for my heavenly Father, for my heavenly Father, he's my dad. Take no thought for the morrow, what you shall eat, what you shall drink. So I think we resolve the issue of source. He loves us. He cares for us. He's going to make a provision for us. But one of the difficult things in the trusting element is the timing element. And usually a change means it's time. Okay? That should bring a surety that it's a time. It's a time when God says it's time to make a change. And what he does for us is for our benefit. It's not for our detriment. It's to help us. Now, Martin's probably forgotten, but after 4 months, I said to Ramon Pelcastra, I need you to teach him to prune. And so for a week, he endured trying to be taught to prune. Now, you either got an eye for it or you don't. And it doesn't take that long to realize when you don't. And so Ramon come to me and he said, this ain't working out. Okay, I'll tell him. So when I called Martin in and said, Martin, it's time to make a change. I saw the dread come over his face in moments. I saw the fear of what will I do? And oh my goodness, when he left the farm that day, he had lost the confidence in his step. He didn't know what to do. So he drove right to Elder Hart's office and sat down and expressed to him, I've lost my job. Joel said, let me make a call. He called, something happened, I forget what it was. Within 48 hours, his problem wasn't where he would go to work, it was which job now to take, because he'd had two offers already to become employed. So it's not a where and if and all those things, it's a timing thing. He's my father. Say it with me. He is my father. He loves and cares for me in a way that no natural father ever could. He loves and cares for me. Doesn't he? Doesn't he? Come on, why don't you stand right now and be enraptured by His love, His care. He knows every detail. He knows every element. Come on, it doesn't matter how high the mountain, how deep the ocean.
You're perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways.
Hallelujah.
Oh,
hallelujah.
My faithful Father, it's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are.
Come on, present yourself in innocence to Him.
It's who I am.
Present yourself in innocence to Him. Come on, stand before Him and empty
vessel. It's who you are.
Let Him pour out the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Challenging somebody in this room to come and stand with your cup open and empty.
All of your ways to us.
And to let the love of God come upon you. Let the love of your heavenly Father come upon you. Let Him touch you in your spirit in a way. Come on.
You're restoring.
Hallelujah. He my dad. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You're faithful.
Come on. It's unfailing love. It will never fail. My bed the other night, very, very early in the morning, as the Lord began to rehearse in my mind circumstances of my childhood up through my teens and into my early adulthood that evidently shaped me who I was. And I eventually got out of bed thinking, this isn't stopping. I need to get up and give some attention to this. And I began to type and write out 5 or 6 pages of these stories of events, only to realize and encapture them in a statement: we are the sum of our experiences. Yet in looking over those experiences in life, I realized the majority of those were all completely out of my control. And it would appear that there were those people whom God had infused into my life to affect my perspective. But it also became obvious to me that there were those who were removed from my life because there were elements that God did not want in my perspective. Now, I will tell you that most of my youth and my early adulthood, I begged God for a relationship with my dad that I'd never had. They divorced when we were very young. But I will tell you that there was a resolve that came to me one day when God dealt with me about this and about Him being my Heavenly Father and making provision for me in things. And I had to come to this conclusion. There were some elements that were undesirable that God did not want influencing me and affecting my daily life through certain people that had become removed. Again, not by choices of my own, but for His benefit. He is bringing you to where you are. He has a plan and a purpose. And He loves the people. But there are elements that dominate in the lives of some people. It's against His purpose to have its influence in you. This is something that we have to accept. I became regenerated at the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But still, at 61 years old, I carry perspective through life because of those scenarios and those circumstances that begin to shape who I would become in Him. In other words, He prepared me for the point of regeneration. And then to carry on in my function and purpose, not just as a human being, but now in the kingdom of God, in the body of Christ. And He wants to do this for every one of us. Now, you talk about an area of trust. There are people who have completely lost the influence of siblings. Completely lost the influence of parents. It's not always a bad thing, and it is according to God's purpose in situations. All right? That's not a negative. You understand. It's a positive in what He's wanting to accomplish in us. You would not be the Ron Chamberlain that I know, would you? You've shared a lot of things with me.